taking note of the great rejoicing the Supreme Court's ruling on prayer evoked at scores of people and organizations this past week, reminded me of the infamous line from the officer who, during the war in Vietnam, commented on the destruction of the village of My Lai, "We had to destroy the village in order to save it." Look, what is there to celebrate in the High Court's decision to allow legislative prayers to be spoken in all kinds of public meetings? The big loser in this judicial decision was prayer itself, its uniqueness and its authenticity. This most recent decision of the High Court, like many before it, has provided a win for conservative forces in our nation at the expense of a broadside, if not a compromise, of religion. Has anybody thought of the fact that prayer is a spiritual practice better defined theologically than politically or legally? The classic definition of prayer is personal communication with God. Communion with God takes place at a level in the soul, spirit, and mind of an individual that is untouchable by government, by educational institutions, or any other external force. A proper theological spiritual understanding of prayer leads to the conclusion that nothing, no other person or no institution, can either prevent a person from praying or force a person to pray. Public prayers are risky at best and always vulnerable to prostitution and manipulation. That's why in the scriptures of many religious traditions, like in Christianity, my tradition, public prayer is discouraged. Jesus found offensive prayers offered in public to call attention to the one praying rather than to the substance of the person's communion with God. Real prayer does not occur to impress or to instruct other people. Frankly, the recent Supreme Court ruling on prayer dealt a legal blow to the authenticity of the spiritual practice of prayer, and consequently, it is no more than a ruling on the legality of making social, political, and governmental statements in civic social sessions in order to be heard by those assembled rather than by God. The one form of public prayer that's distinct from other forms of public prayers is a prayer articulated in a house of worship as a contribution to worship, whether spoken aloud, spontaneously, by script, or a liturgical reading. My pastoral prayers, offered in public worship, are explicitly directed to God with my awareness that my overheard communion with God may provide help for others wanting to pray or assure people in need that others are praying for them or embraced by other worshipers who join my prayers and make them their prayers. Well, believe me, the kind of public prayers that attracted the ruling of the Supreme Court hardly qualify as such personal and spiritual acts of communion with God. Like most of you, I have listened to public prayers in school board meetings, city council gatherings, and legislative sessions at the state and federal levels of government. Most frequently, the words bearing the identification of prayer are far more statements of public opinion or imperatives for civic action than an individual's honest communion with God. I'm not surprised that non-religious people are now planning to petition civic bodies to allow them as well as religious leaders to offer prayers at the beginning of their public meetings. Given the Supreme Court's decision, that seems fair. The High Court made clear that its recent ruling does not protect public prayers that negate others' religions or convey incivility. In other words, the court affirmed the offering of prayers that meet the court's civil standards. Of course, I favor that part of the ruling. But honestly, I don't want the justices of the Supreme Court or anybody else in government trying to define what I can or cannot say in my private communion with God. And it's ridiculous to think that could occur. When will we learn? Every time we submit a sacred act to a civic body, asking for a ruling on its appropriateness in a diverse public, we allow others who are not thinking theologically, to compromise the most sacred aspects of our religious practices. And in such situations, regardless of who wins in court, religion and its holy practices lose everywhere.